commence primary ignition.
This is Star Wars.
Look out!
Core World News.
You may fire when ready.
From the Deep Core to the Outer Rim Territories, you're listening to Core World News. I'm Grex Kondak, and here's your news rundown for February 1st, 2019. Today, we'll be addressing such topics as Resistance Recap, Kyber Crystal Comics Corner, HoloNet Rumors, and Reading Wrathtar / Galaxy's Edge. But first, Anthony Daniels has sadly announced that he's wrapped the character of C-3PO on Star Wars Episode 9. And now for your hosts, Ben Grant and Adam, to discuss.
Wow. You think this is the last work that Anthony Daniels is going to do?
Maybe physically there. I mean, I'm guessing he'll do the voice as long as he can do the voice, because why wouldn't you?
Right. And he's the guy.
And he's also done like every single C-3PO. He's been the one that's like been the most attached to a character in Star Wars. Like, he's never given up that.
Yeah, that's right.
Did he do it all through the Clone Wars and everything too?
Yeah.
Wow. So they've been keeping him busy then.
Yeah, there's only like a handful of things where he didn't actually do this 3PO voice.
Yeah.
I have his tweet here for you guys. Want me to read that real quick?
No, we're good.
Well, I'll read it anyways. This is Anthony Daniels tweeting. Today was 3PO's last on episode 9. He's sad, so am I. But we're so proud to have worked with such a lovely, talented cast and crew led by JJ and Kathy. I'll miss everyone, but I'm glad to know that we've been making something exceptional together to share with the waiting world.
Nice.
Well spoken.
Yeah. I mean, he also says wrapped on episode 9, right? Not wrapped in Star Wars. I have a feeling... Right. It's interesting, right? Because George always said like they are the constant, right? In the Star Wars universe, or R2 and 3PO. And so I was actually wondering in Solo, I kept waiting for them to pop up because of their random thing in first Star Wars story, Rogue One.
Yeah.
So I was waiting for them to show up in Solo, and I'm glad they didn't, because that would have felt a little
shoehorned in. Yeah.
I mean, we've had a discussion about like future legacy characters if they do develop a trilogy for maybe 10 to 20 years in the future after this story. Mm-hmm. And I think like we came down to like the idea that, or even further than that, and we came down to the idea that like you could get Chewbacca, you could get C-3PO, you could get R2-D2. But, you know, a lot of the other mortal characters wouldn't span the time if they're going to go far into the future. But C-3PO, I would love a new trilogy to open with C-3PO. Like I would buy tickets the next day. Like he's such a memorable, iconic character.
It's crazy. That's a radical idea, but I like it. I mean, technically, the Skywalker saga is like the story. It's a story told by R2-D2 and C-3PO. R2-D2 gets more credit because he's generally considered the wiser of the two droids.
Right.
But that would be interesting. I mean, they always could put him in there. I don't know. It might be like maybe that's... I would think maybe this is the end of them. You know, this is their story and that's it.
Yeah.
And I mean, JJ might do something cool with R2-D2, or with these two droids, where it's almost Cloverfield-esque, where it's like maybe they plug in somewhere and upload to the HoloNet, or they do like some sort, you know, the story where it's indelible, a little like sort of Inception, you know,
where the
story came from, and it to sort of really land home that it is it's a story really told by those droids, or through those droids' audio or visual receptors.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, the other thing, not to get I'll just be a downer for a second. Is in this episode, right? We're gonna have two droids whose, I guess they call them masters, right? Mm-hmm. Are gone, right? Because Luke's gone, so 3PO or R2 is without a master starting at the beginning of episode 9.
Yeah.
And we're assuming that Leia's gonna die. We don't know. We just know that she's gonna be probably not part of it. And if she does, then 3PO suddenly doesn't have a master. So it's these two characters who have always had masters throughout this entire series and this last thing not having that.
That's a good
be
point.
Really interesting what they do with that.
Well, C-3PO could just become the head of droid intelligence for the rebellion, or you know, as the resistance evolves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can see him having a place there for the long term.
Look, he could be a legit general. Like, they always look at them as assistants, but like what they're doing in the comics is like he's actually the head of their of like a really,
yeah,
and actually not just in the comics, it's canonized in the movies too, because that droid in Takadana Maz's castle is talking to C-3PO.
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, that's a priceless. He's like the CIA of the, you know.
Yeah. He's like that dandy British spy master. We've talked about this a bunch, but I could totally see him fulfilling that role even more so. But he's had his memory wiped a couple times, if I'm not correct.
Yeah.
R2, I don't know if R2 has, but I know C-3PO certainly has his memory wiped. And that's great. You can definitely work that into a new story if you're ever going to tell a story in the future. He could be a completely different, you know, personality.
I was even wondering if R2-D2 dies in this, in 9.
Yeah.
And like, you know, Rey like takes his CPU unit and puts it, you know, in with the Jedi, like, you know, all the Jedi material she's gathering or something.
I really wanted R2 to die alongside Luke in episode 8 because I've always seen him as sort of like almost divine pair, like just like they've always been together through this long journey. It just felt so fitting that maybe R2 goes when he goes, but he's still around, and now that he hasn't perished, I would like R2 to continue being around for as long as possible. I think that droid should have a long, long lifespan.
It's weird. They make him look sort of like they frame him as sort of like the old wily veteran next to BB-8, which is BB-8's much more dynamic and does like cool stuff, and then you have this like trash can that sort of beeps and boops next to him.
But I like this idea of them being freed or whatever, and this idea of him being a general, like how much
that would be.
Imagine the feels of like General 3PO, like if someone just said that, like I would, like it's not something I would ever think, but I would just start spontaneously crying.
I know.
Or Poe to be nice to him in like the last beat of like act 3 and be like, oh no, you're no longer like a serf, like a general, you're a commander.
Those two need a hero moment in 9 of some kind.
That would be really cool. And actually, I mean, C-3PO could be like their sort of intelligence, like the droid intelligence service.
Yeah.
Which is sort of loaded statement, moniker. But like R2-D2 could be a legit general.
Yes.
Like he's, you know, he knows more about warfare than probably any of them. They gave him all those missions in the Clone Wars.
Right.
And I mean, he fought around Skywalker and like was there for everything. Like he's forgot more about warfare than, you know, most of them will ever learn. And he hasn't forgotten anything because he's a droid.
Yeah.
Cool.
Interesting.
It'd be fun if they did like kind of a repeat echo of the kind of no life signatures trick that Leia played on the Imperials. Like, some kind of repeat echo of that moment, but in a different way where they're maybe in a cruiser together and they're like, oh, there's no life signatures on the cruiser, but it's still operational.
Yeah.
And it's them too. You know what I mean? Like, that would be really cool.
Isn't there a scene in The Last Jedi when like Haldo is explaining to General Leia that someone needs to pilot the ship to like for this last thing, and then like C-3PO just sort of recedes into the like into the shrubbery like Homer Simpson. I'm pretty sure it is that way. And just sort of
that's amazing if that happened. I love it more, but I recommend
that. I think
that.
It did. I remember like someone like circling it on the thing, and like and especially like the look on C-3PO's face is constantly just like like totally scared.
Yeah, that's his permanent look, though.
Yeah, his permanent look. Sure. Yeah, I mean, it just sort of, so it's totally memeable. It's just like that feeling when they need someone to sacrifice themselves for the greater good.
Right. I like that. All right, cool. Should we jump to the next topic?
Sure.
Let's do it.
And now for Resistance Recap. Right.
This is a really good episode this week.
Yes.
That was fun.
I feel like we've sort of like been cursorily paying attention to this series, even though it's great, but like, it deserves more. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And I wouldn't mind spending some time on this episode because there was a lot going on there. It was a really fun episode. It was a lot of action in this one. What do you guys think?
It starts light and then it escalates pretty quickly after that. But
And the
basic premise for this episode was that Sonara, who's a reoccurring character, we've seen her in a few episodes before this, she's tasked by the pirate captain leader, Kragan, to steal something precious. That belongs to Captain Doza to earn credits from the First Order. But then there's just a big kind of twist at the end of it that that if you watch the episode, you'll see, and it's really, really great. Like, I really love the twist.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Like, a twist, actually, at the end of this, where you thought it was going to be pretty straightforward. I mean, you can guess, like, what's the most precious thing that Captain Doza has, you know.
The second they said it, I'm like, oh, okay, I know what's happening. Yeah. And then I feel like this happened a couple times in the last few episodes where they're playing it so like obvious, and then there's suddenly just a turn where you're just like, which I feel like is making up for the whole we didn't know that sea monsters thing as a child in the last two episodes.
Look at the thing.
Right. Yeah. But the last two episodes were like, oh no, I think I'm starting to get more credit where like maybe they were doing that like to make everyone think everything's going to be super obvious. But, and then
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about the episode in full, so we'll just throw up a spoiler wall right here. Mm-hmm. Just stop if you don't want to hear the complete episode being discussed. Okay. And past that, I think we can now just say that, Sonora was tasked to help two pirates infiltrate the Colossus platform and kidnap Tora Doza, Captain Doza's daughter. And then the big twist at the end is that the First Order had asked Captain Cragen to steal Tora Doza for the purpose of giving her to them. And then there would be a big payout with credits, but then there's a big turn where the First Order actually rescues Tora from the pirates and this kind of
corporate rescues, yeah.
Yeah, and this kind of like false flag maneuver. And then they kind of return her to Captain Doza to earn buy-in, right? To for them to come to Colossus platform and have stake there.
It's so creative because I knew my third line is like, seems like we're headed to a First Order occupation of Colossus platform. I mean, that's what they were going for. And I assumed it would be an occupation by force.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like this little turn of them being a little more depth about this idea.
Yeah. Yeah. This is sort of more repercussions of the current thing where it's just like they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Trying to be like, look what we did for you.
Yeah.
And it's forcing everyone to look deeper into people's motivations as to what's going on. And I thought it was interesting. You knew something was up when like Craig and Gore's like, I want out, like, this isn't worth it. I'm losing too many men for this to be worth our while. Give me triple, which is like good pirate sort of thing to say. And also, humanizes them in a way.
Yeah, pirates are struggling the too, pirates, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're getting their butt kicked out there. And they're ultimately pawns in the game, but they don't know how much. So they offer triple for this gambit, and they deliver. And the interesting thing there is that the pirates have now been crossed by the First Order, and we already have like a pirate liaison in Sonara, the Miralon, Kaz has the hots for still, I imagine.
Yeah.
So I wonder sort of what they killed a few of the pirates, but Craig and Gore is still alive.
Yeah.
And they're still very much a pirate entity.
So and we get to see their ship in this episode. Yes, it's which is so just cool. Huge. This massive. And it's called the Galleon?
They just call it Galleon, but yeah. I mean, which
a Galleon class ship, maybe.
I checked it out.
It's pretty on the nose.
Yeah, it's pretty on the nose.
Right. I think that's just a generic term for what it is. Like it's a space galleon. And they also have a skiff. We see another skiff, which is awesome. Their own version with that's armed out and stuff. So it's definitely resembles the hut sand skiff.
That's so cool. It was cool to see a skiff on water too.
And yes, yes, it was.
Yeah, totally.
And there was a fog over the water, and I didn't even really make that connection.
So cool.
It looked dope.
I really like what they did with the First Order here. I like this kind of facade of righteousness. I think.
Yeah.
Early on, when I was speculating about the Force Awakens and kind of where the direction of Star Wars and the sequel trilogy, I was thinking that the First Order would play this kind of role of the kind of facade of do-gooders. I thought they would be tricking the galaxy into thinking that they're doing the right thing, that maybe they have just an extreme view on things, on the Force, and if people are bad, you just eliminate the disease, right? They don't relocate people like the Jedi would to prisons and things like that. They would actually just root it out.
Yeah.
Thought there'd be something like that going on. But, Starkiller-based attacks and kind of goes right back to black and white.
Yeah.
And there's no real moral gray area with them. But Kylo's a great area for that exploration, really. I mean, in terms of the Force and some of that, the warrior mentality.
Right. Sure. There's still more, I think we have to learn about the First Order and what they're doing. But this episode really lent credence to our theory that they are the black water of the galaxy. They're a vigilante militia, military force that for hire.
Yeah.
And that inherently comes with so much power and the ability to manipulate power. And they do, but they, as opposed to Blackwater, which I think is really just for money, but dangerous in that, depending on who pays the most money, will gain an immense amount of influence and the ability to create a lot of death and destruction and really atrocities and stuff. Like, the First Order are focused and
driven by power.
And they have a supreme leader that's, they call it First Order, First Order, Order First.
Yeah.
But... I mean, what the heck does that mean?
But it also makes sense, right? That they, because I didn't realize there was something incongruous about what was going on until this episode, where it's like, why are they working with pirates? Pirates are completely against what the First Order would want, right? This idea of anarchists, right? Exactly. So I like this idea that they were just using them as pawns, and ultimately we'll just wipe them out, like, and use them as this, like, look how dangerous the galaxy is by funding this group. It's such a devious. I kind of love it. It's really nuanced for a quote unquote kids show.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Really great storytelling. Yeah, it was super fun. It did not feel like 20 minutes. It felt like a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
In this episode.
I would love a political forum to kind of be playing out in parallel action with some of these events in Resistance. Yeah. Like, I would love to see some populists and centrists just in heated arguments about the certain incidents we're privy to in the show. You know, that'd be great.
I wonder if they're ever going to...
Not great in a kid's show. I don't think it's just the format's not right.
Right.
I don't think.
But I mean, they could talk about it. I mean, there was a lot of it in the prequels.
Yeah.
But it's noticeably vacant from the sequels.
Yeah.
Not noticeably vacant in the original trilogy, because people didn't really know what they were. They're like, whatever, the reasons. Yeah. But it was done with a deft enough hand that you didn't ask too much about it.
Yeah.
You're just like, of course he's bad. Look at him. You know?
Right. Yeah. That's what we got the EU for, right? Like, that's where we should get it. We got a little bit of it with Bloodlines, which is my favorite part of that book, was the political stuff in there and the intrigue and the discussion and debates. And the Star Wars Minute guys have always argued that they want a West Wing show of Star Wars things. And I just want to give a shout out to that idea, because every time they say that, I'm like, I want that, a West Wing type show that's all about Star Wars politics would be amazing.
And I mean, how interesting would it be, like, post Return of the Jedi? I mean, Aftermath got into a bunch of it too, actually, in a pretty cool way. There was a lot of Mon Mothma. There was sort of this, you know, but not a lot, a little.
Yeah.
You know, they're still essentially eradicating the Empire. So it would really be, I mean, what would be cool would be a post, post Battle of Jakku, sort of West Wing.
I think we're going to get some of that stuff in the Cassian Andor series. I think that it's a great opportunity to explore the government and the inner workings of the politics and things like that in that show, because it goes hand in hand with spying.
It's a good point, right? Rogue One is one of the ones that looks at the most of this idea of, like, we just take this rebellion as this thing that sprung up full formed, right? And then it's like fully formed. And I love Rogue One of this idea, like, no, there are multiple, like, sects of this thing, and, like, they do not get along and there's disagreement, and it made it the most... That, to me, is, like, the realest... Star Wars thing ever, right? Because you're just like, of course this is how it works. There's people with disagreements about the best way to fight the Empire.
Yeah, and much like some of the most recent James Bond movies, I think there is parallel action with kind of defense hearings and things like that alongside him on missions. I can see that same format for Cassian Andor.
That's true. There's a lot of meetings in the new James
Bond. There is a lot of meetings. Not about politics in the new
reading
James Bond.
People's computers over their shoulders, like, especially in that last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the last one, there's like a full-on hearing, like, I feel like.
A UN meeting where I'm like, this is happening. Okay. All right.
Here we go.
They're reading that screen. Oh, so am I. Okay, great.
Yeah, but that's about it. I mean, that's all. I love what they did with the First Order in this episode. Love the characters. Love Kragan. Got to say, he's one of my favorite characters in the show thus far.
Yeah.
You could really see, like, the tattoos on some of his tentacles. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Kind of a Davy Jones rip.
A little bit. Totally. But like, whatever. It's cool. It's all right.
I mean, those archetypes are going to live forever, right?
Yeah. So, like, how are you not going to make a pirate captain?
Right.
Like, a Quarren? You know what I mean? Like, how are you not going
to
do
that? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Right. It's silly to sort of, to even consider that. We also get some more of the aces here.
That's right.
Yep.
And that was really cool. I love how they just, like, they use enough of the aces to sort of tease their personalities, but they don't tell you any backstory.
We get some serious dialogue from Bokeevil.
Is that Bokeevil?
Bokeevil.
Yeah, the Keldor ace.
I hadn't heard him speak until this episode.
I didn't think he was going to speak.
Yeah, I don't know if we had got him.
Oh, we definitely hadn't to date.
Yeah.
And we didn't get it in any of the teasers. I thought he was just, like, going to be the stoic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stoic.
But he was like a squad leader, you know, with Griff.
Griff was right behind him.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense now about Griff that he's like he's Empire, and, like, it's cool that he's, like, this, you know, holder of the Empire when you think about Doza being a commander. So, maybe, you know, he was one of his pilots or something like that.
Yeah, we'll only give ex-Imperials a second chance.
Well, we know Ransom Caster fell in the Bloodlines novel. We know he collected just a lot of Imperial artifacts.
Which is, like, the equivalent of having, like, a swastika flag hanging in your office.
Exactly. Right. And Griff is very much the same way, you know, putting together this piecemeal fighter out of old Imperial TIE parts and things like that. Yeah. So, I mean, centrists are a real threat to the, not threat to the galaxy, but they're a major party in the galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this time.
Yeah. I got some random observations, as I do usually. Taurus says it's so wizard.
I haven't heard that since Phantom Menace, right?
Yep.
What was that kid's name?
I know. I can picture him. So I almost had it and then went away. Yeah. Right.
It'll pop up at the end before the end of the pod.
I love the game, the training droid game. They have the virtual training droids floating around.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun because.
That's probably going to happen. Like, that's going to be a game. You're going to be able to buy the gun, and you're going to wear the goggles, and you're going to be able to play it.
Pretty sure it's already out there.
Really? It might be.
Yeah. It might be you have a saber and you block it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's out there too.
Kitster.
That's a wizard, Annie.
There you go.
I don't know. It's cool now.
He actually just came by the studio just for that.
Yeah. That would be amazing. So I like that Kaz during the game, during the shooting game, is horrible.
Yes.
I like that we have a hero that's not just good at everything. He's legit not
really bad.
He's not action-y. He's meant to be a spy in a lot of ways. Right.
Pretty good pilot. So they're it's like, hey, nut. You know, this isn't going to be your butt chin hero here. Doing this stuff. He's a good pilot. But he's kind of a clumsy spy, but he's doing a pretty good job. But don't trust him with a blaster.
Nope.
And then predictably, Sonara was, crack shot.
Which is
She's like, oops.
Oop. Yeah, I guess I'm just good.
Did I break it?
Yeah.
The two new pirates that we see, I don't know if they're new, but they get the most screen time. I didn't recognize them from previous episodes. The Valak, the Weak Way, and the Dothamir.
Drell. She's not a Dathomir. She's the same race as Aurus Sing, and it's called a Pantelium.
Cool. All
right. But same race as Aurus Sing. Okay. So near human.
Yeah. Cool.
Gray skin.
Yeah. Super cool looking. She is.
Her tats are awesome.
She's the Mohawk. And she's huge. She is built. She just could wreck things.
So. Absolute unit.
Yeah.
As they say on the internets.
And then they say the phrase, break out the droid popper. Which I enjoyed quite a bit when they threw the little electric thing that killed all the droid popper. I like that phrase. That must have been said at least once in Clone Wars, right? Like that just how have not been there. And then the one negative thing, not negative, but you notice that Cardinal had a
Ian Von Rigg.
Yeah, had a matching blaster.
Did he
have a red blaster?
He had to have a red blaster.
Everything matches. It was just kind of amazing / horrible.
Right. Well, the Phasma plated her gun, her blaster with same stuff as her material. So
good point.
Precedented.
All right.
But I don't know. We haven't seen Pyres, Commander Pyres.
No, but I'm sure he has a gold blaster.
Well, he's like a matching TIE fighter or something.
Yeah.
I thought there was a good insult in this episode. I think Bantha Brains.
That was a good one. Yeah.
I think also as far as Easter eggs go, I think they number the aces, and I think Tora is the most recent one to join. But because I saw on her wall, and then I was like, oh yeah, it's also on her uniform, but she's red 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's just kind of cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I don't know if there is sort of echoes of Luke Skywalker there.
Mm. Yeah.
Because she is kind of a Skywalker-y character, right? She's youthful and sort of, naive but super abilities.
Yeah.
And she's kept inside all day.
on the homestead.
I know. All she wants to do is go to Tashi Station.
Yeah. I mean, it's fitting for her to get a kind of twin sons moment. She's being kept there by her father. It's kind of
be cool if her dad got killed and all of a sudden she grows up fast and becomes a.
I'm hoping this series really opens up, and I hope the war of attrition kind of comes to a close, and that you have these aces who are now being.
We're dealing with a major fueling platform, right? That's going to be occupied by the First Order, and we're going to very quickly get to Starkiller Base and all-out war. This place is going to, big things have to happen here,
and they're going to happen really fast because it happens in 2 days.
That's all I had.
Well, we did. I mean, to that point, Grant and I were looking this afternoon, and the next episode is called The First Order Occupation. So it's going. I think we're done sort of pussyfooting around.
We only have a couple episodes left, right?
So it goes to 18. I think we're on 15 now.
I only know that because I keep not completing my series on, mm-hmm. on Amazon, yeah. but the price keeps dropping. And I think next week I'm going to buy the rest of the episode yeah. for 30 oh, cents. Okay. So I'm like, it's only going to be a couple episodes then. yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see about that. And I don't know how much they'll have after or where it's going to go. Right. I mean, maybe it should end on Starkiller Base, right? Maybe not at Starkiller Base, yeah. but the events that happen there.
Like, yeah. I mean, that should be the season one right. finale, right?
Yeah. I would love to see.
I would hope so, because I want to see it move forward.
Well, I think we all want to see another angle on the attack by Starkiller Base. I think we want to see Hosnian Prime from a different vantage point. We're right. like, oh, maybe yeah. Kaz is just too late. He's trying to get to his dad. He's just too late, and the planet explodes, and it's just like really dramatic. Yeah. Like, that's where I see the series ending, really, almost. Well,
do you think they could squeeze more episodes in before episode 9? Because they can't really do anything.
Because you got a year.
Right.
Because you got a year between episode 8 and episode 9. That's what we think, right? We think it's a year time jump.
Oh.
So since they're somewhat isolated, and next season is going to start, we assume, in October, right? Yeah. So you have
that would be
the
cool
first half. It'd be amazing if the first half of the season is dealing with that kind of time period right after episode 7/8, mm-hmm. and then kind of we can. So I think they can do that without giving away too much. They're already starting to do in the comics and the books. They're starting to play around a little bit with just post episode 8. So they're doing some stuff.
Yeah. That would be really cool if we got, you know, 3 months of Resistance episodes leading up to this that were all like in the most current time period.
That would be cool. And especially since if we know that, like, the trailer's going to have to at least give us some idea of where we are in the galaxy, mm-hmm. episode 9. And my guess is that the trailer's going to be very dour and very much like the First Order rules supreme, right?
Right.
Like, so if we know that from the first trailer, whenever that drops, there's no reason they can't just start filling in that story a little bit of how the First Order came completely to power between 8 and 9.
Or it's just the backstory for like these seven fighter pilots. If what's his name is in there, which I think he will be, Jaeger.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe they'd only get a couple frames of screen time, but in like the fighter sequence. But like everyone that's watched the show will know sort of this huge backstory for them.
Yeah,
which I think we've mentioned before. But cool, man, cool. I like what they've done here.
Comic Crystal Comics Corner.
We got two comics came out this week.
Cool.
The first is the fourth part of the Solo adaptation by Thompson, Slaney, Mosa, Karamanga, and Noto.
All right.
It's the artwork's great. They do a really good job. I don't have a ton to say because they don't really deviate much from the script.
Right. So what time frame to what?
Yeah.
Time
so we're at the movie? Kessel. Not quite at the Ooh. Kessel. We're at the Kessel job. So it's all on Kessel. It's all them robbing, and we get the droid revolt and all that stuff. And
fun.
And it ends with the Star Destroyer
coming out of the
Falcon being in the sights of the Star Destroyer.
What a shot that was. Yeah, that's so cool.
What this comic does is it does a really good job of making me want to watch Solo again.
Right.
Like, it really does a great job of that, and it has a lot of these iconic scenes. I don't have a lot to say about it. It's just solid, but not much different. You know, I feel like Rogue One, the adaptation, there's actually quite a bit of added stuff to it. And I have a feeling, I don't know what the backstory is, but with the Solo stuff, a lot's kind of unknown about who directed what parts are they using, what parts are they not. So I think they're
just
sticking very, very straight safe. to the final product to play it safe. So, but looks really good.
That's cool. Just one note on that is just like, I forgot who it was. I think it was JJ who was saying, like, it's just like it's so easy to make a Star Destroyer look awesome. It's like you just sort of like sidelight it, and it's instantly like all the shadows on all like the crevices like make it look insane. But they like found a way to make a Star Destroyer look awesome in a different way in that, where they like have it taking up the whole orifice of the whatever it's called. It's the Kessel Run, but
it's like a maelstrom.
The storm. The storm. Like right in the eye of the storm, blocking the whole thing where you can't get by it. Like, so cool. It was like perfect proportions, perfect scale, and you just like get the fan where you're like, oh god. Just like right when that's a gorgeous shot.
Yeah, it's amazing. The only thing that I noticed, and it's been a while since I watched Solo, so this might be in it, but you know the scene where Kira and L3 are talking in the cockpit?
Yeah.
They're kind of talking about, and then L3 says, so what are you gonna do about your little problem?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that she says problem, Kira says problem, I don't have a, and I thought L3 in the movie just said that he loves you or something. Do you remember if L3 points out that Kira has the brand on her wrist?
No, but she sees it. L3 sees it.
So in the comic, L3 says, that brand on your wrist tells me you're committed. It's your restraining bolt. And I like that. That's an interesting line. That's literally the only difference I noticed. But I like that idea of like L3 like letting her know you're just as much of a, you're owned as much as I am. Like this idea.
I think in the movie, it's just like, I can tell you're committed to, you know.
Right, you're committed to something, right?
Yeah, you're committed to, you know, you can't do anything with him. Right. She's like, I have the same problem. And then like sort of, you know, starts talking about herself.
And it goes right back into the dialogue here too. But that's the one thing where I'm like, I don't remember that. That's your restraining bolt. I think I would have picked up on that because I love the concept of restraining
bolt. I wonder why they lost that. It makes it more nuanced.
I think it's
because they don't want to give it away.
They don't want
the ending.
To say what that is, if it's negative, what it means. Right. And so,
because that might sort of foretell a little too clearly what's going to happen at the end of the movie.
I think so. Yeah. And then the other comic this week was Dr. Aphra, number 28, by Spurrier, Lazio, Rosenberg, Caramanga again, and I think Witten.
Witter.
I couldn't read my own writing. Witter. This is Worst Among Equals, Part 3. We are still on the quote-unquote ultra-lawful imperial world of Milvain.
That's right.
And we basically, this is the Dr. Aphra's version of the movie Speed, right? We have
Truman Show.
And Truman Show, yes. And a little Truman Show-y in this. But Dr. Aphra and Triple Zero are joined together. They can't, if one dies, they both have bombs implanted in them by Dr. Eberzahn. So if they get too far apart, they blow up. If one dies, they both blow up, that type of thing. And they're on their way trying to get a specialist who can turn that. Oh, and then last issue, Dr. Eberzahn, because he wasn't having enough fun, did a countdown timer too. So now they're just going to blow up after, I think, several hours. So now they're trying to find a specialist to get it taken out of them. So
now they're going to try to do that. Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're being chased by, quote, resurrected Tam Pazla, who's possessed by a force-powered fungus.
Tam Pazla, man.
Is it Tam Pazla, or is it like a robot? Like a synthetic?
It's his corpse.
It's his corpse.
Or her corpse.
It's his or her animated corpse.
Who died in an earlier episode. Who then also resurrected BT, R2.
Right. BT-1, right?
The R2 droid.
Oh, yeah.
So we get BT and Triple Zero facing off.
Strapped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Winlock and Nock return.
Yes. Meanwhile, Winlock and Nock also show up. Those are the married interspecies married monster hunters.
The
wife is a Trandoshan. Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah.
Steamy.
I want to know when they're going to get their own series at least another. They had their own standalone issue, which was I think written by Jody Hauser, and it was the it was the Dr. Aphra annual this year. It was actually, I think I mentioned it as my favorite single issue of the year. But I either want another standalone or like a mini series.
Well, it's endlessly entertaining for them to like rifle through their backpack to find whatever gadget, right? Because like, that ion net was expensive. Like they're constantly talking about this fun gadget.
That's so great.
This is a great duo to have a whole series to themselves.
The amount of just lore drops alone in a single issue of Dr. Aphra rivals any Star Wars movie. And it feels like old EU in a lot of ways to me, and I love it. Like, it just is, again, we've talked about it, and I know I'm just going on and on, but it's just this idea that they have so much more freedom than any of the other comics because they're all completely new characters. Yep. So,
And we can, and
I know, Grant, you had a couple things that you kind of loved the issue.
I don't want to jump too far ahead, but I do love that they eventually Dr. Eberzahn amplifies their broadcast signal so that everyone on Milvain, I think in the sector or the system can view the kind of real world kind of speed challenge that Aphra and Triple Zero are
just like he makes,
trying to survive.
Oh, that's great. That's like, oh, this is high entertainment. Let's just show everybody.
So everyone starts watching Aphra and Triple Zero on their holo feeds, and it's like, And then there's a reward out for them as well.
Oh, by the way,
so now everybody and their mother is hunting them. Just, and it's really, really fun.
And the last few issues, you just keep cutting back to Dr. Eberzahn and Wu-Her sitting on a couch watching this. And then every so often, Dr. Eberzahn just gets bored and goes, I'm going to throw another little wrench into the machine. Yeah. It's just, I am so happy about this book. It's just so much. It continues to be constant fun.
Mm-hmm. And they start going down to like the sub-levels and the underworld, and they come to this Imperial bloat barge, which again, we're talking about the lore drops in the series. It's awesome. Bloat barge is just, I guess, like a kind of mining, Imperial mining facility,
Okay. So, because it's gas mining.
I don't know if it's gas mining or gas redistribution, because it sounds like, because there was a line in it where they basically take gas and pour it down into the lower levels where all the poor people live.
They gather the expensive gases and pump down the worst of the smog. So it's kind of a filtration system.
But
it is a facility that nonetheless captures the stuff.
That's really cool.
We meet this other character who I'm sure is named in previous issues, but she has this giant beast called Girdle, and big twist at the end where she betrays Aphra and Triple Zero, who I've just started to call Trip because Aphra calls him Trip.
Trip, I like that. Cool. Yeah. Any other thoughts about the issue?
No, I loved it. I love that there's just like. You know, get rich, save your own skin was a kind of a big mantra at the end of the piece. I loved that.
Yeah.
Aphra sounded like Han in a lot of her dialogue throughout this.
Oh, piece. Very Han-like. Yeah,
saying
absolutely.
Kid constantly to this other bounty hunter.
She's
character
maturing, maybe.
She is. She's maturing and getting a little kind of burnt out. You know, very old soul in a lot of ways. And, I guess the last thing I mentioned, which I was going to start off with, but the cover art for this book,
amazing.
I love it, and I think that is the one who that's Ashley Witter, the person who I butchered her name earlier is Witter. That I love, and it's been like the last few issues, and I don't know if she's done the last few issues. But the last few issues of the cover artwork is really, really great.
Can I take a closer look at it?
Yeah, take a look. I mean, it's got Dr. Eberzahn right there in the background.
This is
what I would call like more like realist art.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like more in the I don't know that you can totally correct me, but like the McFarlane sort of like. When that stuff came around, like, I don't know, this is what I would relate more to that.
Yeah, except they can draw feet.
Right.
And sorry to take a shot.
No reason. I didn't even get that, but okay.
That's a comic book joke for those of you out there who'll get that.
Right. But it's, like, amazing. You see these great characters in the forefront in, like, color, and then you've just got, like, Evazon's amazing face sort of in black and white behind it. Like, it's high art. It looks amazing.
It is. It's really beautiful. I would use the word beautiful, honestly. It's well done. And it's
gorgeous.
Anyone who follows Instagram has probably seen my organization skills for comics. They're kind of put laterally, but this might be one I actually kind of put in front of the other comics just to showcase a little bit.
Yeah, I love all of Triple Zero's dialogue, too. I think, like, all of his lines are just incredible in this issue and in issues prior. I really like the character a lot.
So cool. Yeah, you guys just convinced me. I've been sort of leaving a lot of these things to sort of... catch on Marvel Unlimited just like when they come out, but I caught up on Vader.
Yeah,
just like spent the money to catch up. I think I'm gonna do that with Aphra too, just because
it's worth it. It's so much fun. Yeah,
it's so one of those... fun. And that'll be a good run of just like reading comics. And...
It's one where, however long it goes, because every comic, like this comic, has a limited. Like maybe it's 100 issues, maybe it's 50 issues, maybe it's 100, but it'll end. Whenever it's done, I'm gonna start from the beginning again and reread.
So this is part three of Worst Among Equals. Is this a five part?
Guessing six.
Five part, six part.
They seem to be going mostly with six parters. Usually four or six. I'm guessing six. Which I think it's six because I saw in the trade magazine that I got today that shows I think what's coming out. I think it is part six is coming out. So I think it's a six-parter.
Cool.
Speaking of the trade magazines, I have a little game for you guys.
All right.
They released the more information about Age of Rebellion, which is the second part of the Age of series.
Yes.
Right.
And so we already knew who the main ones are going to be. But to refresh our memories, there's going to be Lando, Han, Luke, Princess Leia, Jabba, Boba, Tarkin, and Vader. So those are the eight main ones.
I don't believe there's going to be another like Vader. Like, I mean, I guess they have to do one, but it's sort of like, what are they going to do?
It's a good point.
That hasn't been done. Like maybe like just him in his meditation chamber.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, so you want to pose your?
No. What do you think? No. Let's start. This is a good.
Oh, so discussion. We're guessing what characters are going to be featured in the special.
So that's the thing. So there's also a special, right?
Okay, special.
And there's similar to last special. There's three short stories.
Yeah.
Let's see if you guys have any guesses of who's going to be featured in those three short stories.
Okay. One of the three short stories I think is going to be C-3PO and Salacious B. Chrome.
Nope.
Oh, so you have an answer.
I do have an answer.
Oh, okay.
This is I have unfair advantage.
And it's...
I think you can get one. I think you could probably get one, maybe two, if I give you some leading. I can give you some leading questions, but like...
Right. So you're saying it's not Nine Numb.
It is not Nine Numb.
That's very specific.
Let's start off with like, think who's missing from like core cast. Characters.
Chewbacca.
No, but we should. No Chewie. Chewie would be a good guess.
He's sort of tough to do.
Yeah.
He's tough to do comics around because he doesn't speak.
So Boba Fett?
No, Boba is one. He is
one. He's one of the major issues.
Okay. He's one of the major issues. Someone, a character who's in most of the movies or a lot of the movies.
Right.
Who, during the Age of Rebellion, probably wouldn't have enough going on to actually give him an entire issue. Any guesses? Back in my short story.
Akbar?
Bib Fortuna.
No. Oh. I'm just going to tell you because you're never going to get it. Yoda.
Oh, Yoda.
Because Yoda doesn't have an issue. He didn't have an issue Age of the Republic, right? And so you have to get him in, so he's going to have his own little short story. And I was shocked by that when I saw that, I'm like, but he must have his own. He doesn't. He doesn't have his own issue in this entire thing.
That's Swamp World. The spirit quest with Qui-Gon
something,
type thing.
Something going on.
I would
on,
love
on,
to
on,
see that part too.
It's going to be Dagobah. It has to be because he's not off Dagobah at all.
Yeah. He never leaves Dagobah. Until.
All right. So the next one.
Unless it's Force Ghost Yoda.
Okay. So Wedge. You're real close. It's not Wedge, but it is part of Red Squadron. And it's two people from Red Squadron. Who else can you?
Two people from Red Squadron? Porkins?
Jack Porkins,
no
yes.
No way.
And who else? Don't whisper.
All right,
I know who it is. Yeah. It's the kid. Not Wedge. It's the guy.
I know you know it, but you can't think of his name.
The guy from Tatooine, which I'm gonna remember.
You're the fighter pilot guy.
He's not little, but he's
big
Starlander.
All right, there we go.
Yeah. And then last, and I'll just give you his like the characters. Yeah, the characters class because it's. You know,
very American.
He's one of the bounty hunters. Which one do we think gets his own short story?
Boss. Dengar.
Nope. Think about
IG-88.
Yes, yeah, so think about cross promotion.
IG-88. Disney cross sells everything.
Yeah,
so just as well they look should.
Which is called synergy.
Yeah,
which is learn that word. It's beautiful. I kind of love it. But yeah, so we get Yoda, IG-88, and a Biggs and Jack.
Biggs and Jack.
That is the most random special. I could not.
I'm
I would
so
not guess that.
Which is great.
Yeah,
man. I was really hoping for some like C-3PO, Salacious B. Crumb kind of antics.
That'd be interesting.
Because they have the time together.
It's kind when? Of
oh, Return it's Jedi. Like oh, standing around.
Yeah, just standing around, just hanging out. Yeah.
Oh, so maybe we get. Oh no, we don't.
That but I mean,
be, oh, I do want
from
that.
A certain point of view, make Salacious B. Crumb.
Think about
like,
that.
Like adult,
Salacious
like
B. Crumb.
He's a classic.
Oh,
like, not, like he's, there's not going to be a lot of conversation.
It's the Luke tale of Luke Skywalker, right? Where it's the
oh, it is
the
Luke
Force
Skywalker.
Because they all like
he's really just like a essentially vacuous shell.
That is like the weirdest short story in all of Star Wars history, right?
Yeah. And it wasn't short enough; it
it's
was far too long.
I was
short
fascinated
story.
By it, but not in like not in a way like I'm like I love this; it's my favorite thing. But I'm like, is this happening? Like,
right.
Because I'm driving my car to work because I was listening to the audio tape. And I'm like,
oh, I can't imagine.
Is this happening? What's going on?
Yeah,
but it's weird.
And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, again, it's in the Skywalker book, and this is like Tales of Luke Skywalker. It's from the point of view of like a symbiotic tiny creature that lives. In the fur of Salacious B. Crumb, that essentially he's a genius. He's self-proclaimed most intelligent species on the galaxy. That they live on symbiotically with other creatures and
right and
tell them
left
what to do.
From Luke, no, or went jumped onto Luke at some point.
Laugh well, now.
I know,
but this is. But what's unbelievable is like
they alone can commune with the wills.
Yeah. Maybe that's well, what George. Maybe that's what George meant by micro, like a microscopic word.
Well, they're not like that.
No,
they're not
like
microscopic.
Fleas.
They're like fleas.
But the thing is like I would get that story in the old EU, like where it's kind of like loose and like everyone can write a story that they want. But this is like new Disney Lucas protected storytelling. This made it through the cut. Like this has the stamp of like Disney and Lucasfilm. It's amazing. That's why I kind of love it, where I'm like, all right, so they're willing to do really crazy things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely the craziest one, but also the sort of, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that book gets a, oh, that's the Legends of Luke Skywalker. That's Ken Liu's book.
And I guess their protection in that book is it's always people telling a story they heard from someone else, right?
Right.
And so you could always be like, this is not real. It's just
It's a campfire. Yeah. And like,
and the narrator has like, narrator has like a missing eye or like a glazed over eye or something.
There's like a
so it's unreliable.
There's a robot eye. Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been Reading Wrathtar in the midst of Kyber Crystal Comics Corner.
Right. Speaking of, are we ready?
Yep, we're ready.
Well then.
Reading Raptor.
All right,
excellent.
Have some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got a big press release from StarWars.com about a lot of ancillary material that's going to be releasing alongside Galaxy's Edge books.
Oh.
Other written material, novels.
Yeah,
like
books,
that.
Comics. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we talked a little bit about this last week, so not a lot to add other than the confirming. The exciting thing is they started to... So last week we talked about Alphabet Squadron, and they confirmed that Alexander Freed is going to write it. And they also talked about the tie-in comic, TIE Fighter? TIE Squadron.
Rogue Squadron?
TIE Fighter. And what we found out...
What we found out
this week is the author of the series, because last week we talked about it was going to be Chuck Wendig, but things happened.
Right.
And so we were a little bummed about, but replaced with Jody Houser. So I'm excited. Again, Jody Houser is my favorite comic book author. So.
Do you think there's going to be kind of residual remnant tie-ins to Aftermath stuff? Because Chuck Wendig originally was on the series?
I don't know. See, this is that weird question. Yeah. It's similar to like the Solo question, right? Like how much did she use his... Because I'm guessing he was deep into writing when he was let go. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
it'd be interesting. I think we'll know when we get if it's just Jody Houser, it's probably hers. If it's Jody Houser based on a story by Chuck Wendig, then we know.
Well, Jody Houser is the writer to do it because she has been just nailing these Age of comics thus far.
I do not envy, and I had his name and I don't remember it, but I do not envy the person having to come in and do the Age of the of Rebellion, because she is like, so far everything has been pitch perfect.
Yeah. Loved the Qui-Gon issue. I've loved everything she's done thus far.
And all loved different.
The Django issue.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. If you got me those four issues and blacked the name out and told me to read them, I would not have thought they were written by the same author.
Yeah, neither would I.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I think is the true mark of master.
You had mentioned, we were talking about a bit off air, like, she just nails characters.
Yeah, she's been writing so many comics this last year and then now this year, and her ability to kind of, her versatility to be able to nail these different voices is crazy. It's amazing. I mean,
also,
hopefully Star Wars keeps her on for a long time.
Highly recommend. Follow her Instagram. It's Mind Eclipse is her name. And it's entertaining. And funny and nerdy and super friendly too.
Yeah. She seems like a super nice, awesome person.
Yeah.
Cool. But back to this kind of ancillary material that's going to release alongside Galaxy's Edge. Comics, they said.
Yeah, that's the TIE Fighter. Yeah, it's going to be a comic series.
There's also one about a bartender
named
Doc Ondar.
Ondar. Yeah. So close.
And an Ithorian.
An Ithorian, yes.
Yeah, I just saw the art for that this afternoon.
The not quite final cover art, yes.
Yes, not final, but it was beautiful.
It's awesome.
It looks really cool.
Who is going to literally be an animatronic character in the Galaxy's Edge.
And he was name dropped in Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Doc
Kira, I think, name drops him. Yeah.
In reference to what? Do you remember?
I do not.
I don't either. So it must have been early, though. It must have been like white wormy.
Yeah, probably.
Or maybe, I mean, or when her Crimson Dawn travels, she meets a lot of people. Really cool.
Yeah.
So the comic itself will be called Galaxy's Edge?
Yes. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Grant just pulled up the... We think it is coming out.
Which makes sense because it's on the Galaxy's Edge and it's an Outer Rim thing.
Well, it is, right? Like what we found out last week or when I was reading Pirate's Price, that is right between, it is on the corner of, of what are those, what are they called? Those outward lands and
the Outer Rim?
The Outer Regions, the Western Reaches.
Outer Rim Territories?
Outer Rim and Unknown Territories.
Unknown Regions, Outer Rim Territories.
Yes. Yeah, I'm never going to keep these straight. Wow. But I think it's it's considered, I don't know. It's one of the three. It's two of the three. That's literally supposed to be like the planet that those two butt against.
Okay.
So that's why it's the edge of the galaxy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So right on that same, the fringe. Mm-hmm. Really cool. I just think it's really cool they're doing this in this way where it's not like, oh, and then you go hang out in with Luke Skywalker. And it's like, you know, Vaporizer Ranch or whatever. It's like, no, that's like... They're giving you a piece of the galaxy to exist in, to like feel like you're in your own story. And then you're giving them all this media to sort of like surround it.
Yeah.
And
with a specific time period.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, right? Because you're right, Ben. They could have been like, here's the Luke Skywalker ride. Here's the Anakin Pod Racer ride. Here's this. But no, every ride seems like it's going to take place.
Synergy.
In the specific time period.
Right. Yeah.
Which is, it's supposed to be like they keep touting that's fully immersive. It is. Yeah, that's what they keep saying. Super immersive.
I love it.
They keep saying it's as immersive as you would like it to be. Like there will be actors interacting with you if you'd like them to.
Well, if you didn't learn enough about Black Spire in the Thrawn Alliance's book, Delia S. Dawson is also writing a book called Black Spire.
Oh, really? Right. I didn't see that.
So it'll be available September 3rd, 2019. In this novel, a prequel to the Disney Parks experience, General Leia Organa dispatches her top spy to Batuu in a desperate search for Resistance allies.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right. Cool.
Yeah,
cool
beans. We also get A Crash of Fate by Zoraida Cordova.
Oh, so there is a lot more. I'll be honest, I failed at my homework. I saw this and I read like the first two things. I'm like, yeah, we know about that. And I gave up and I'm like, no, there's apparently more things.
There's a lot. There's a big dump of new stuff here. Titles.
Yeah. Great cover art too. You really get to see Black Spire in a new light if you go check out these book covers on StarWars.com. Crash of Fate. In this young adult novel, Izzy and Jules were best friends until Izzy's family abruptly left Batuu when she was six. Now she's back, and Jules, the boy who never left, is unsure what to make of her. While on the run from vengeful smugglers and an angry pirate, the two friends will come to terms with who they are and what they mean to each other.
So, is there more?
That's it. That was just the...
sorry, you scrolling.
There's one more book. There's one more book here.
It ties into Black Squadron?
Into Galaxy's Edge. It's part of the whole release that they're mentioning. So we'll just talk about it real quick. Actually, really, really triggered me. I thought it looked really awesome.
The art is awesome.
Yeah. Star Wars Myths and Fables. Written by George Mann.
All right.
Speaking Grant's language. I know. Right this
is, but the cover looks like a freaking Tolkien.
My eyes just cleared. Glazed over. In this middle grade novel, here are the thrilling space tales, fables, and myths that are told in a galaxy far, far away. The book features two stories that take place on our remote outer rim world of Batuu, plus many other untold tales from the edge of the galaxy, lushly illustrated in a style that pays homage to the real world children's classics.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
So myths within the myth.
Yeah,
yep.
That is awesome.
And you can also read a little excerpt from one of the books below if you go to StarWars.com and check out this kind of all this Galaxy's Edge.
See, like, that's the kind of stuff that is such, like, I don't know, it's fantastic, I think. It's just like, well, we can create myths that happen within this universe that don't involve, a quirky Darth Vader or whatever, these characters. It's just like, well, they've already set up the parameters of this galaxy, and, you know, like what this community... Right. Or, you know, population would be like there. And then we can do within it all these other really fantastical stories within that area that, like, could be even... It's really cool.
It's so really smart. Cool. I don't know. Have either of you been to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter?
I have not, no.
Mm-mm. I went with my sister and her son, my nephew. And they had been reading Harry Potter novels since he was, like, four. Mm-hmm. Like, she would read them as bedtime stories. Yeah, yeah. And then when he got old enough, they'd read them together. Like, they would have, like, a book club, basically, together. And I went with them. And I like Harry Potter. I read the books. I saw the movies. They went to the Wizarding World, and they would stop at every storefront and look inside and be like, oh, do you remember that from that book? Do you remember that from that book? Like right, everything. Right. Yeah. And so Galaxy's Edge, I feel like, is just let the Wizarding World do their thing. It took a lot of notes and are just going to kind of perfect it.
Yeah.
And like, my wife loves Star Wars. Yeah. I feel bad for her when she goes with me this thing because I'm gonna be that person stopping everything. Yep. Going, oh, that's from that book. That's from that. And she's like, can we just go on the freaking ride now, please? But like, it's gonna be
like, this is the ride.
Like, it's just gonna be amazing.
I'll take a picture like every square foot.
Oh yeah, yeah. I already let her know. Like, it's a small area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're planning to go down there for a week and do Disney for a little bit and go do the Harry Potter because she's never been to the Harry Potter stuff. But uh-huh. I already told her, I'm like, we need 2 full days at mm-hmm. Galaxy's Edge. Oh, yeah, she's like, but there's 2 rides. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a lot of me stopping and staring at things for 15 minutes. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. We're going to lose a day with me just, like, falling on my knees, like Randall and Clerks
right.
at the whole video store.
Yeah. I'm going to talk to every single actor in that place.
Yeah, I'm going to fully interact, and I don't ever interact.
I'm going to Ed Harris that Westworld like, as far as I can.
I said a real dark image in my head, I'm going to let it go.
Hey, he just plays the game.
Is there a map on someone's inside of someone's skull?
Only one way to find out.
Doc Ondar's got some Easter eggs hidden in his dialogue.
Like that.
All right, guys, you guys good with that?
Yeah. We were trying to figure out a name for the title for this segment.
Galaxy's Edge.
Galaxy's Edge, which we were debating. Do we need one? Because it's going to go away. So we can open it up to our listeners if anyone has a good name. We haven't really come up with a good punny name.
Yeah, let's get your puns.
So Batu kind of rhymes with who. So I had in the shower today was Batu wants to hear Adam talk about Galaxy's Edge.
That might be a too long for
it's a little long, but I kind of like
Grex will remember that.
No.
Oh, but who wants to listen?
He's a busy guy.
Yeah.
It's okay. I wonder if anyone can come up with something better than that.
Please, because I'm sure
look
you
forward
could.
To the intellectualisms that may arrive.
They behoove you.
Yeah.
I can't crack this one. I cannot.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
I like there might be something in Edgelord, but I don't, you know, that you had mentioned, Grant, but Galaxy's Edgelords.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good. I like it.
But we will see what we.
We'd have to have a really solid theme song to come with it that would really kind of poke fun at the Edgelord stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we got
that's it.
Yeah, we'll think. All right. Next segment.
Holonet rumors. Kill them all.
All right. What do we got for rumors this week?
Very light on rumors this week. The big one everyone's talking about is there seemed to be an outdoor set that people were able to get a view of, and they said there was some
snow.
They're
going to be shooting outdoors?
Well, no, I mean, there's definitely some outdoor sets, but the one that people had been seeing in, I guess, some footage that people unlawfully captured of it, they said there's snow there. There's snow all over the place, so it looks like people are guessing a snowy planet.
I'd say that probably checks out. Have you seen the pictures?
I have not seen the pictures.
Yeah, it like, unless they're just doing a snow machine outside for no reason, like, there's going to be a snow planet.
Right. Cool. And it's very similar to Starkiller Base because there's trees and foliage and things like that and snow as well.
Yeah, it looks very similar to that. So I don't know if it's just.
But Starkiller Base is no more, right? That thing exploded, right?
Yeah,
exploded.
So we have seen another snowy planet in Star Wars that isn't Hoth and isn't Starkiller Base. It was, I believe Ilum. It was the one that Ilum.
Well, a lot of people think that Starkiller Base was Ilum.
Right. But Ki-Adi Mundi dies on like a snowy planet, I feel like.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, he does.
And it almost looks like it could have forests below. But because he's up on like a high kind of catwalk.
Imagine if Ki-Adi Mundi like has a role in this movie. That would be so great.
What about the Wookiees?
Yeah, I know. It's like, well, who had that? It was like, well, Ki-Adi Mundi was the last one with that thing or whatever. We got to go get it.
Oh, my God.
They have to go, like, find Ki-Adi Mundi's corpse. That's, like, the whole, like,
that's
main...
the whole thing.
That'd be amazing. Episode 9, Ki-Adi Mundi.
Yeah, the hunt for Ki-Adi Mundi.
The temple of Ki-Adi Mundi.
I would watch that movie so hard. I would love that movie.
All right, Snowy Planet, what could it be?
I think this lends
probably
more
for Dr. Average.
What's that?
That's probably more of a Dr. Aphra story.
Actually, yeah. Totally should be. I feel like this lends more credence that we're going to get a lot of jumping between planets to show different battles going on, different things going on. Because it looks like I looked at those pictures, and it looks a lot like Starkiller Base. And I don't think there's going to be a flashback. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if they spend more than 2 minutes on that planet...
Oh, it could be a flashback.
It could be. But I feel like if they spend more than 2 minutes on that planet, it's going to be like... aren't you just redoing what you already did, JJ? Like, why do we need a big thing in a forest with snow?
I mean, if we're going to get this time juxtaposition where we get this backstory on the Knights of Ren, you know, there's going to be some Starkiller time there.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think there's going to be like an oppression montage early on and then a kind of turning of the tides montage later on where the Resistance is fighting back? Don't you feel like that's... We're like probably in for that.
When you say an oppression montage,
First Order just holds rule over all these different planets. Yeah. And then you'll see a turning of the tides montage later in the movie where the Resistance are all jumping out of water, falling down from trees, popping out of all these, like, you know, these corners to.
I feel like we'll get a lot of the sort of like state of the galaxy in the crawl where it's like First Order rule supreme, war, you know. But the Resistance has now gone full rebellion mode.
So. Also, that's 100% the first sentence in the...
Right, yeah.
In the crawl, right?
In the crawl. The first order reigns supreme.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be good. That'd be fun. But, yeah, I just think there's a Resistance ambush montage later in the film where they're all kind of jumping out of the woods and fighting First Order guys and taking back their land. I think that's going to be a major montage that you'll see. And this could just be one of those many, many planets that you'll see in that montage. It's a snowy forest.
Yeah, right. They've got to do like this casting call of all the biomes they've ever shown.
All the biomes, yeah.
JJ's, there's been so much talk about this movie referencing all the movies that came before, right? Like it has to take the prequels in a way that JJ didn't in the first one very deeply and that Ryan played around with a little bit in the second one. And like JJ knows that, right? Like he's got to pull in. There's a lot of people who love the prequels. That's their Star Wars movies. You got to bring it in. But you're not going to hear the word midichlorians.
No.
You need for it? May or may not see Hayden Christensen. I think we're at I think we're at like a 50-50, like even odds on that. But I feel like if you do this, like almost not necessarily shot for shot, but very close, like this idea of the war montage you get in episode 3, that the people who don't particularly like or care about the prequels aren't going to notice it because it makes sense in it. And the prequel people are going to just go nuts for it. Right. So that to me is like a safe homage in a way that's not going to offend anyone.
Yeah.
Except for like everything offends someone on the internet.
Yeah. Ewan McGregor had a great quote that came out last week, actually, which is sort of, which he spoke to that. He was just sort of like, well, you know, a lot of people pushed back against the prequels when it happened because it was Lucas wanted to do something different. He wanted to do something very different, and he did. And he did. But now we're seeing that, you know, there was this whole generation of young people that grew up with him that loved and appreciated it. I mean, he's not saying anything people don't know, but he more eloquently than I just paraphrased it, really just said what everyone knows. It's like it was a different thing, but it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to put your arms around there if you're JJ right now trying to, you know, do some things there.
Yeah. All right, we'll jump into the next one is definitely possible BS trash rumor, but nonetheless we'll just entertain
here we are
of it for a second. Here we are. We're in this second. So the rumor is that Kylo not only gets a message of Palpatine or meets with Palpatine via a kind of holo message, he also receives an armada of ships, vehicles, armor, technology, super weapons, and things like that from this holonet message.
From like a cache gets delivered to him with one of those like those robot. Would be so cool.
To me, it sounds like he goes to find this holonet message,
right?
And the holonet message unveils the secret armada.
Yeah. So what would he need another armada for?
The rumor goes further to say that he gets a Star Destroyer larger than the Supremacy, like just an even bigger.
Of course, that doesn't exist. There's nothing. The Supremacy was like
the largest one. Yeah,
but the Supremacy was like a planet in diameter.
I'm not going to defend this rumor. This is a random rumor I read somewhere on Reddit. So it's take it with a grain of salt. It's like I doubt the Star Destroyer part of it is true, but the idea of him getting this kind of weapons cache from a message seems interesting. Seems possible.
That'd be cool. Yeah, so that'd be a good way to tie it together.
Here's Grumpy Old Adam. So I think I talked
Grumpy Adam
about the fact that I'm not super on board about a Sidious pop up in Episode 9. It's fine if it happens. It's not gonna I'm not gonna get super angry about it. But I'm like, you know, Sidious' story is told. It's not his trilogy. Right. But if he does show up, I do like this idea of like more than just like here is a like, here's a good pep talk for you, as opposed to like, here's a, you're going to get something out of this. Like, it makes sense that Sidious would keep a journal of like, and here's where we're going to store all this stuff so you can use this to destroy the Jedi for life. You know what I mean? Like, that would be like, I'm like, all right, I'm a little back on board now.
I could see that, like, where Sidious, first of all, if you saw Sidious's image in this movie, I think you'd probably be pretty
stoked. Oh, I know.
You'd
I
be
would.
Like, people would gasp.
I would hate like, how much I love it.
Yeah, it would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, like, it would be kind of cool if he left, like, an Easter egg hunt for someone following up that, that, like, wants, that, like, specifically targeted towards someone that wants to destroy the Jedi.
Right.
That, like, you know, through, so we go through Moriban or whatever, Korriban, whatever it's been called now.
I call it,
It's Moriban now, right? Whatever.
I call it Kamoriban now.
I call it Kamoriban. Yeah. So, like, whatever. You go through these Sith planets and you have to, like, do this. And you and he gets all these lessons from his holocrons. And then, like, maybe it leads you to this final cachet.
The initial rumors were saying Jungle World.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because actually, if there was a Jungle World that was the home base for Plagueis and Palpatine back in the day, actually. I don't remember much from that because it was so long ago that I read it.
But it's an interesting idea that maybe...
And they're still torturing.
Maybe Kylo's being pulled to the light, but Palpatine giving him all these material goods. It's like, hey, here, look at the material world. Look at the power you can have. It's kind of just swaying him the other way. There's an interesting idea there. But,
sure. Yeah. Actually, did you guys... Sorry to divert this around a second, but did you guys read Plagueis?
I read it a while ago, eight years ago, maybe.
Do you guys remember the part where he, like, he captures a foe and, like, plans on, like, he just had, like, a torture dungeon, Plagueis did, because he's trying to figure out how to, like, keep, maintain life. But there was someone that he, like, planned on being like, oh, I'm going to kill you and bring you back to life, like, over and over and over again. It'd be kind of funny.
I don't remember that, but yeah.
That would be.
Oof. Actually, it might have been his master, his moon master. Not moon. He had a Bith master.
Bith master. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sorry. Just wanted.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Just wanted to make that call just in case it happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be super dark, though. That would be like seven dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah. I mean, I want either Vader or Palpatine in this movie just to.
Yeah.
As a message. Something. Let's just.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a little tidbit.
Vader.
Yeah.
Vader.
I mean,
Palpatine
is Darth Vader's father.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
figuratively, yes.
Figurative. Yeah. I mean, he created
in two ways. Yeah, in multiple ways.
Yeah, he conjured him.
Well, George George had it in Revenge of the Sith in the dialogue at the opera. He had it Palpatine tell Anakin that he's hit the father, and then he just scribbled that out and got rid of it.
By the way, good job, George.
Yeah,
because for someone who doesn't seem like restraint, much in the prequels, like that would have been those lines where you're like. Like, he probably wrote, oh, people are going to be like, oh, it's I'm your father line again. And he went, you know what?
Don't need to do that.
Well, I actually don't think I need to do that.
Yeah. Instead, I mean, he had probably the most impactful scene, certainly memeable scene in all the prequels.
Yeah.
The opera scene is like the best
one.
Have
you ever heard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something that the Jedi would teach you.
Right. It's the best scene in the prequels, for me at least. So, like, it's amazing to go from that, like, it could have been so ham-fisted.
Best music in the prequels, too.
Oh,
like, Dark Horse best music.
Yeah. Super good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Revenge of the Sith?
No, the opera music.
Opera theme music. Yeah. I'm a big, for music, I like episode two a lot.
Episode two is
the
solid.
The love and death in the arena.
Yeah.
The track.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Nonetheless, it would just be fun if... it would raise the stakes if Palpatine came into the picture because I'm hoping the Knights of Ren will raise the stakes. But if we're scared for Kylo to skew evil, to have Palpatine be introduced, is like, whoa, he's definitely going to skew evil at the end of this thing. You know what I mean?
Because
Snoke's manipulation didn't work, whereas we know Palpatine is the master of manipulation.
Yeah.
And that no one can kind of escape his cerebral mind.
But it can work either way. Right, because if he does escape it, that just shows how powerful Kylo is, how much the draw to the light, how strong the draw to the light is that he couldn't. Yeah. He escaped what his grandfather couldn't.
You're right.
So it works either way.
That'd be great, and then he could destroy everything the Palpatine had been accumulating.
Yeah. I think it would add a layer of gravitas that this movie and this trilogy desperately needs.
It's interesting. Yeah. I also feel like it needs to the sequel trilogy needs to be its. Not necessarily its own thing, but it needs its own strength, right? And, like, suddenly fall back onto Here's Palpatine. Right. Here's Sidious. It just seems a little weak to me in a way. Right. Like, no. we don't have this backbone that we need to bring in.
That's true.
I agree. I mean, I think they need to do both things, right? They need to make
that's a good point.
Define the First Order better.
Yep.
And make them more of a threat.
Yeah.
And then they need to find another layer, because I think that's the kind of stakes they need to have here.
It is the ninth film in the 9-part series, right?
Yeah, that's so, lasted 40 years.
Yeah, so it does need to.
Yeah, really I personally don't want Palpatine in the movie, but I do want Vader in the movie. Like, I do want Anakin, Vader, some, I don't know, ghost at the end, something that just ties it all together.
Yeah, I've said this before, and it's this weird thing I never thought I'd say in my life, is that I'd rather have Hayden Christensen in that movie than Palpatine.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is not a sentence that I ever thought
I'd say. But I'm the Raider camp. Like, I've been harping on hashtag Raider for like the longest time. All of you out there who are naysayers to resurrect or reincarnation. You'll see.
You know, way you'll out see. There. Not in
we'll talk room. At the end yeah. of episode 9. We'll talk about it. But Rey is definitely the reincarnation of the spirit of the Chosen One. So I don't want anyone to attach any kind of like gender bias arguments to this. It's just like there's a spirit. An orb of light was the Chosen One.
Yeah.
It reincarnates in different forms. She is the new form of that period.
Yeah. Spirits are gender neutral.
Yes. Sure, man. Far out.
Yeah.
I have one.
I'm living in that camp. I'll die in that camp.
I think it's a lonely camp, man. But
it is. It's me and Claudia Gray. I have good company.
You do have company.
I've always said I'd be 100% fine with that. It's not what I think it's going, but if it goes that way, I'd be okay with that.
I would have notes.
Yeah, you would have notes. is that it? I have a like kind of a little like last thing for the episode.
Go for
Are
it.
We good with?
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
So this is the last episode before the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
And
oh, right, yeah.
They last note, they said no trailer for Star Wars during the Super Bowl.
Who said that?
This is what I thought I read, too.
It's been that's what's unclear, is who said what and where it's been released.
But there was like information leaked, and they said that they could do an even more powerful thing without spending millions of dollars on a Super Bowl thing.
Because they don't have the budget. But I know they
have the budget, but it's like they have... like Star Wars is a crowd as large as the Super Bowl any given day.
Well, yeah, exactly. If you release it online, they'll have the same number of people watch it than who watched the Super Bowl. It's not going to have a thing. So I thought a good place to end. So we talked about kind of like betting things. let's all say yes or no. Star Wars trailer during the Super Bowl. Who wants to go first?
I'll say yes, and I'll say it's a teaser, and it's. Two shots, three shots, and the title of the film.
Grant says yes. Ben?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to go yes.
All right.
Because I feel like this is classic JJ
disinformation.
Classic JJ disinformation.
Yes.
I think it's real information, and I think they...
I
think Ben's right, but I want to be right.
I don't even believe in what I'm saying, but I feel like now that I know that both of you are that way, I'm happy to be...
I think we should all stick, and it'll be fun next week when Ben wins. We'll give him a point, and we'll start keeping track about these bets that are coming up.
A lot of people are evaluating Star Wars as a commercial entity, right? And they're saying, oh, we don't need a teaser. They don't need a teaser and market something out, 9 months or... before it releases.
Well, they do, but they don't need an event like the Super Bowl to spur
it. Right, but everyone sees it as a commercial entity. I would argue that it's not. It's a movement. Like, Star Wars is a total cultural movement.
Yeah.
And you can't leave people hanging when you're trying to build up a cultural movement.
This is your last chance.
Yeah.
Like, this is your last shot in the series to be like, yes, I granted it's a lot of money, but for Star Wars, it's like 1/10 of 1/2 of 1/1,000,000 of 1% of what they're going to earn to spend 10 seconds on a thing to just be like, boom, here's what we got going on this year.
But you don't think that, I mean, it's the people that watch the Super Bowl are not the core demographic of Star Wars. So, I mean, maybe if they're going to do something during the Super Bowl, they need something that's going to really make people gasp. And, like, they have to do a Super Bowl commercial. Like, something that's going to make, cash viewers, like, reignite their love for Star Wars, even if they were, like, super casual. If that's... Well, I mean, like, the only reason you do it is because you're trying to increase... your market share for like people that like Star Wars, which they don't need to do. They're already out there.
But I don't think it should be evaluated as a commercial product. I think we're looking at a movement. And I think at the same time, I just feel like a title can
exist without the Super Bowl. Like, a movement is like grassroots, where it's like, they just, someone, JJ throws up on some just like one icon, like a 9 on like coming soon or something on Instagram.
Yeah. People
and then it's like viral. Right. And then like all the people that are dorks flood to it. And then people talk about it. And like that's a movement to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, like,
I get what you're saying. Like, I think if you advertise the Super Bowl, you're going to get exactly 0 more people to come to your movie than if you don't.
Right.
But they've had a particularly tenuous year.
Right.
Yep.
And part of me is like, and this is the real cynical Adam, is like, you do this because it's expected of you. Like, this is the thing of like, no, we're still on board. We're still strong. We're still doing our thing. Boom. Here's our ad.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying,
Grant? Well, no, Grant's saying something more romantic, which I really like and agree with.
Well, I'm also saying, well, and commercially, if we want to talk commercially, I think they need to start setting up, you know, pins to get knocked down for a celebration. Like, they need to get people ready for what they're going to see. People aren't going to walk in a celebration blind. They're going to have seen a teaser for 9 and know that they're getting the full trailer at celebration. Like, that's, I think that they need that trailer just to give some people some direction towards where to send their fan energy. You know what I mean? Like,
okay,
you're gonna have to send your fan energy somewhere. Might be like, if you show someone a teaser, then when they're going to celebration, they're like, "Ooh, we're gonna get the full
so they
image
need
now."
They need like the first pin to fall, or they need they need the spark that's going to ignite sort of the full campaign that's gonna last all year.
I still think the best ad for this whole thing is to just do Lucasfilm a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah,
you do the Sting title. Cut the whack.
Well, for Force
maybe a little John Williams music.
Yeah, exactly. John Williams music. That's title. Cut the whack. You do nothing more than that, other than a title reveal. But like, everyone has that emotional feel to
meow meow. Twin right? Sons.
Yeah, like that's it. And I was also thinking in a year of Endgame, right? Because this is going to be their biggest competition financially. Yeah. Granted, they're coming out 8 months apart. So they're not going to hit each other, not going to affect each other financially. But Star Wars wants to go into 2019 or 2020 saying, we won the year.
Yeah.
Even though it's both Disney.
Yeah.
Still, Lucasfilm wants to beat Marvel.
Marvel Studios and Lucasfilm are separate subdivisions of Disney. Therefore,
and they have a huge competition going
on. They have all the reason to try and out, you know, best the other one.
So do something different, right? Marvel did the let's wait until fans are ravenous to release this Endgame teaser. Like, fans were losing their effing minds online to be like, when's this trailer coming? When's this trailer coming? When's the title coming? I mean, they released it, what, 4 months before the movie comes out? Which is really ballsy this day and age.
Yeah.
So maybe, Lucasfilm does the other thing of like, no, we're going to release a trailer 11 months ahead of time. Yeah. 10 months ahead
Here's how you reignite the fan base. You release a teaser during the Super Bowl with Luke, with the VO. That's how you reignite the fan base, is you say, Luke's here.
Yeah.
And then, boom, everyone's back.
Right. And it's like him speaking from beyond the grave.
Exactly.
And like, Rey, just like with that like reverb, like that Obi-Wan had.
Yeah. That's it. That's how you reignite everybody. Everyone comes back.
Oh, man. Just getting the tingles.
Okay, but now I'm going to argue for Ben's side. Because this is what I do. This is all that I ever do in class, is I just am devil's advocate. So you're like, that's not the fan base, right? The fan base isn't necessarily... like, there's plenty of people who love Star Wars who watch the Super Bowl, but you're not going to get the other group.
It's not the target demo. And it's like, I mean, in fact, it's those people that... The people that are the target demo for the Super Bowl and, like, watching that stuff are, you know, the sort of people that believed the sort of Russian trolls and that were like, we're just like, oh, well, you know, the Star Wars wants to make the brown people popular. And like, you know, and they, you know, now
I really
want to
see there's the Zen diagram of
Star Wars
fans, Super Bowl viewers, and people who believe Russian trolls.
That would be
amazing. Like, I think I might go home and draw this out tonight.
Right.
And you're right. I think there's an overlap. To help you or to support your argument, the one thing that we know is dropping on Star Wars or on the Super Bowl is the Hobbs and Shaw trailer, which is the spinoff of
Fast and the Furious,
starring The Rock and
Statham.
Irish
Jason Statham.
Which, by the way, I'll totally watch that movie.
Yeah,
but like, I'm more interested in that than I am in Fast and
when
Furious.
I'm being a jerk, like, online and like people are making like sexist comments, I'm like, listen, man, it's cool. Just like go watch Fast and Furious. You're gonna love it so much. I don't think Star Wars is for you.
Yeah. No, it's right? But I think
it's like the anti
Star
Wars.
It's kind of the microcosm, right? We're probably not gonna get a Star Wars trailer, but we're gonna get a Fast and the Furious trailer.
Right. And like I mean that's it. It's the anti Star Wars. I just so for that reason I think they can create their own, and this is just the argument. I love your argument, Grant. I think that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And I hope we see it. Honestly, I'm just rabid or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think Disney can. They're a smart company. It's a smart series. They can create this grassroots like swell, like rebuild the fan base, re-get them on their own terms without having to, you know, beat up against
I think the first teaser will have Luke Vio. Like. I honestly think that's the only way to rebuild the fan base.
Yeah.
It has to. It has to be like, Luke's still here.
Yeah.
We still have a story to tell.
Right.
Come on back.
Yeah. I mean, because that would assail a lot of fears from people that were disgruntled about Force Awakens.
But, I mean, also, when you saw the JJ teasers for Force Awakens, there were some gorgeous shots that were never used in the final film. For instance, the reverse wide of Kylo igniting a saber in the woods was never used in the film. Gorgeous shot.
Gorgeous
shot. Stunning shot.
That's a weird... That's fascinating because I associate that. I have the image in my head when I think of Force Awakens, but it's never in the movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what they have to deal with. They're not done shooting, so they're certainly not anywhere close on editing.
There's definitely like three shots from the cutting room floor that you can throw before a title at the Super Bowl.
Super
I could
sexy.
Cut that together in an afternoon. Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah, and easily because there's probably a million gorgeous shots.
A million,
anything that would just like
cutting together a teaser for that film at this point is possible.
People should know. Totally. Yeah.
But it's more like Lee in teaser format than in actual full trailer format. Oh, not that they ever really do full trailers anymore.
No. And maybe I come and then why don't they push some like celebration hype into that promo into that? You know what I mean?
I was going to say like, do they say celebration?
Remember, they're sold out.
Chicago.
Guys, they had a that was Galaxy's Edge. They had
We're gonna get a Galaxy Edge.
So there was a rumor, or a report, or a leak of some kind.
We're all three.
4 months ago, 3 months ago of not 3 months ago, yeah, four, 3 months ago of actors on the set of Episode 9 shooting small promos for Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
That's going to be at the Super Bowl. Why would you shoot it 3 months ahead of the Super Bowl?
You're 100% right.
And it's not have those at the Super Bowl. It's going to be Poe, Finn. I don't think they'd use like some of the Force characters, like Rey. I don't think they would use Rey for a commercial message like that.
You know, Maz Kanata.
I don't want to see Rey promoting Galaxy's Edge.
Right.
Yeah. I want to see Poe. That's fine.
Yeah. Poe, Finn.
Finn.
Maz,
that's fine.
Hondo.
Maz. Yeah. Hondo.
Hondo live action. Hondo. Yeah, hello.
This
is
Hondo Tanaka.
Jim Cummings, just like in your ear. That'd be great. I mean, I can see that happening.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing a full court press of inviting press to the parks to tell them about how they're going to handle everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's I think you're right. Yeah.
Mm. All right. Well, we will see very shortly.
Yeah.
But then it'll be three Galaxy's Edge promos. You know, different look, different style.
Yeah.
And then you'll get the teaser. You'll be like,
You'll get the teaser in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Boom. Mm-hmm.
That's what. Yeah, they're gonna have to make some people stick around to watch after the Patriots.
Or they'll do it at halftime.
Quarterbacks touchdowns.
Just don't even say things like that. I'm going to pretend like you didn't hear.
Okay.
They're not going to go through it. They
agreed we're getting a Disney Parks commercial, and then we're also getting a short teaser.
We have not agreed.
You have suggested.
I'm saying teaser title reveal and Galaxy's Edge promotional material.
I will. I think Galaxy's Edge doesn't count. We only talked about the teaser.
I think we all agree.
I'm still going to stick with my guns. No, no teaser.
I'm going to
even though it makes a lot more sense that they would do Galaxy's Edge and then bang teaser.
I'm going to stick with my. I'm going to stick because I don't want to change that there is going to be a teaser trailer. But I think I'm voting with my heart, not my head.
Me too. Right. Me too. Always with Star Wars, I always put my heart ahead of my head.
And I'm gonna vote
Ben's
with
gonna
my
win.
Like.
Ben's gonna get the first point.
An unvariable quest to just be the guy that takes the other perspective and say, you know what, you're not going to see any Star Wars stuff during the Super Bowl because that's not where Star Wars stuff happens.
Every episode with this, with some bet of what's going to happen in the next week.
Love it.
And we'll keep score. So it's our first one.
Okay. And we'll see
who gets the point. Well, I will keep score on my phone so who wins by the time episode 9 comes out. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Think of the things like, do you think Trail's coming out this week?
Well, to be fair, they usually have ABC is owned by Disney. They usually have the Good Morning America crew talk about the ad or the
trailer. We usually know what's coming.
I would love it to be a surprise. I think Star Wars is built upon surprises. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. I think that. Yeah.
Well, they've done a good. There's no murmurs about them. I mean, there's murmurs about it, but there's no signals from Lucasfilm.
What a lame way to introduce the trailer. Yeah. Have Good Morning America talk about the trailer for like a whole day, and then the next day say, oh, here's the trailer. Like, it's just such a. Well, I don't know.
But also, Super Bowl's known for that. Remember last year with the Cloverfield paradox? Where like, by the way, here's a movie that you've never seen.
Yeah,
here's a really bad movie it's you've terrible. Never seen.
I love Baron Cloverfield Paradox. I thought it was great.
There were some great moments in that film.
It was fun.
It was awesome. Like the last moment, I thought was really cool.
Yeah, there was some cool stuff. There was some really creepy, cool stuff.
I just
some
like body that horror. Series. I enjoy it.
I love 85% of that series, and 50% I don't like is from the Cloverfield Paradox. But I like some of the stuff from the Cloverfield.
Well, good.
Cloverfield Paradox. Well, not Cloverfield Lane. I hope because.
Oh, that's 100%. 100% of that?
Oh, wow.
I like that.
With John Goodman?
I will slap you in the face.
I love John Goodman.
John Goodman is an American treasure.
Yes. Agree.
I love John Goodman. I was just, I don't know. It didn't move enough for me. I like movies that move and
it moved
travel.
A lot at the end.
Yeah, it did.
At the very end.
I love
a cellar to a field.
It was like two movies. I thought it was great.
It'd be so interesting if we write a movie together. Because I love really contained movies. Like, Rope is one of my favorite movies of
all
time.
And that's Hitchcock.
That's Hitchcock.
Three edits
in the entire movie. One thing. And like the scene where they're sitting down where the body is like one of the tensest moments in film history. Anyway.
It's a fun movie.
I like that.
So, minimalist.
Okay. So this is before we diverge anyone down, let's just say thank you very much for listening. Sincerely, honestly, you're in the minority here. We were just discussing that, like, you know, there are people, there are not a ton of fans that actually like pay attention to all the media. So if you've listened to this much and are listening to us at all and sort of are at least willing to hear about, you know, all these recaps of what's going on across Star Wars media, that puts you in a special group, I think.
Yeah.
And it's super fun to view it that way. And we're just really humbled and thankful that you're listening to us. So. Thanks a lot. We will talk to you next week, and may the Force be with you.
This is Grex Kondak signing off. For the latest breaking news, follow @CoreWorldNews on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you, and good night.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.